Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you are indeed in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Let us now go around the NFL with the understanding that in about 20 minutes, we should be joined by the man who has a man of 1,000 voices, maybe more. We'll find out exactly how many. Rick Caliendo.
How about that? In studio.
Yeah, in studio. So looking forward to that here shortly. Again, appreciation to Chancellor Johnson for talking a little UH Cougar basketball with us coming in. All right. Big thing around the NFL yesterday. Somebody got paid. His name is Eugene Cyril Smith. I believe the fourth. Geno Smith is what we call him, and he is now a quarter. He's the quarterback for the Raven or for the Raiders rather of Las Vegas, and he will be that for the next few years, according to the extension that he signed. It is a 2-year, $75 million extension that he signed. Obviously, that gets him just under $40 million average annual value, but. He will now, like, the Raiders have their quarterback. In fact, I should start with the fact that I owe the Raiders an apology because I looked at what they had as an organization and I was like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
They trade for Geno Smith, who is a good quarterback in this league. I don't care what anybody wants to say, and if you want to fight me, you can.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good quarterback in this league, and there's a comfortability with your head coach. And I think that this gives you, I mean, not this in and of itself, but I think this gives you a little bit of a foundation for the next few years. Having a quarterback that I won't call him a franchise quarterback, but he is a starter that you feel good about for these next few seasons.
Were you a little surprised by this?
A lot surprised.
I was surprised.
Not by the fact that he got an extension, the number itself.
Yeah, the number was surprising. I thought the extension might have been a little surprising to me anyway. But
the extension, you got to do the extension if you're giving up
it's one of the things that commonly happens, but I guess maybe more. It was more than number. But the thing about Geno Smith is he's one of those guys that people sort of refuse to put in any top tier, whether it's certainly not 10, but even 16, that people tend to fight against. And all he's done has been incredibly accurate and carried teams. And Ben, you said he's not a franchise quarterback. He is a franchise quarterback by definition. He's the guy. I'm saying he's a guy that teams have relied on to be their guy. He's never been like in a competition. He's always been the guy that a team relies on to be their quarterback.
All right, so we just gonna have a difference of opinions on what a franchise quarterback is.
Well, no,
that's
like,
what happens here.
To me, it's, is he a true franchise elite quarterback? That's a different conversation. You put the word elite on there. That's C.J. Stroud. That's, guys like that.
That's what a franchise quarterback
is.
No,
a franchise quarterback is when you sign a guy and he's your guy and there is no competition. He's always been that.
Well, I mean, he hasn't because he was a backup for a while. But I think, like,
but I'm saying,
in capability,
in recent years, and in capability, and all that stuff, I think he's a little bit disrespected as a quarterback.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I was front and center of the people that looked at Geno Smith when he was when the Seattle Seahawks made the decision that they were going to lean on him. Mm-hmm. And people laughed, and I was like, no, I remember when he was with the Jets. Of course, that was a little while back. Was that 10 years prior or something like that? It was a good amount of time prior. Mm-hmm. But he was starting to put it together before he got his jaw cracked by Ike Anunoba for not paying back money that Ike felt he was due. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories in all of sports. This man, Ike, had a youth camp in Texas, in the Austin area, in fact. And, you know, Geno was supposed to come, didn't show up, and IK wanted some reimbursement for some of the arrangements, and apparently Geno was ducking him. He eventually stepped to him in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Geno said, and I don't remember exactly if this was what it was, but there was an oral history that was done a few years back that was very good, where I believe Geno, in essence, said, what are you going to do about it? That's not a question you want to ask, or that's not something you were going to ask to a very mad very mad linebacker or a very mad defensive player in the league. Who very much wants their money, and he cracked his jaw, and that really halted his career for a little bit. But he could always throw the football, and he was starting to put it together. And you've seen him put it together. One of the best, if not the best, deep passers in the league, accurate as you mentioned. And he comes in at the 20th highest average annual value for quarterbacks now on this extension. This is weird because with the Seahawks traded him after, according to them, which of course take it with whatever grain of salt that's necessary there. They had offered him up $40 to $45 million on average annual value to remain the quarterback there, and he seemed to deny that, again, according to sources that seem to align with the team side, which makes me think, oh, he just didn't want to be in Seattle anymore.
No, absolutely. Over the last three games, I'm looking at it right now, he's over the last 3 years, he's averaged starting 16 games, averaged 4,000 yards passing, 68.5% completion, and 71 touchdowns. I mean, that's a franchise quarterback. He might not be elite, but that's a franchise quarterback.
You're not going to get me on your side.
It is. I mean, look at the number. I mean, would you take 68% and 4,000 yards from C.J. Stroud?
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
over a three-year period?
C.J. Stroud has something else.
No, I know. And that's why I say I think he's elite. But right there, every NFL GM would take that.
But then what's the next level that you're putting for the guys above C.J. Stroud? Right? What's the next level that you're putting
for? I think C.J. Stroud's an elite quarterback.
You're putting him on the level with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes?
If you put him in the top.
And Joe Burrow, because I don't want to leave him out of
there. Would you rank him lower than eighth in the league?
No, but I feel like there's a tiered line of demarcation in there somewhere.
Well, now you're parsing because there's the super.
That's what tiers are, aren't they?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, there's a Hall of Fame and then there's a super Hall of Fame. There is an elite quarterback and then there's a super elite.
Where is that?
We know who the super Hall of Famers
are.
Is
that still in canon or is that somewhere else?
But you look at certain.
Do they not let us know?
Hold on. Do you not look at certain Hall of Famers different than other Hall of Famers?
Sure.
Don't you look at elite quarterbacks, super elite quarterbacks, different than other elite quarterbacks? That's what I'm saying. And then there's franchise quarterbacks, the guys that you rely on. And there are the numbers, three straight years, 16 starts, 68%, 4,000 yards. Give me that.
I mean, I don't agree. I don't disagree there at all. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, finding a new place to work, how about Case Keenum? The Chicago Bears have brought on veteran quarterback Case Keenum to mentor Caleb Williams. So his tenure for the time being as a Houston Texan ends, and now he goes. And in a way, I immediately went to, you remember, was that week two where everybody was up in arms about C.J. Stroud, big bro, and Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams kind of getting on a C.J. Stroud train because here comes Case Keenum to be his Yoda now in a way.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, that stinks. You know, I kind of wanted him here. But he's going to be coaching. That's a good place for him to mentor a quarterback that probably does need it a lot more.
Well, you say he's going to be coaching, but it really did feel like a lot of people around here wanted him to, just become a coach here. Like, we'd love to see you, but he seems to still want to play, right? Because, like, he's not
it
becoming
pays better.
A coach. Well, yeah, that is fair.
It pays better.
That's a good point.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But yeah, shout out to Case Keenum as he continues his career. Obviously, I think we all wish him success in that role. And it does feel like Caleb Williams is being set up.
Boy, they're helping him a lot.
A really great year. It'd be a real problem, though, if it does not come along. Because we already felt that in his rookie year, that they had really put some things around him to try and make it go well, although they did not fire the head coach.
And then the line and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here they are, adding Case Keenum to help in that quarterback room. All right. I asked this, what happens now if things happen this way, if Adam Schefter is correct? Because Adam Schefter reported, and he does the thing that reporters do where they kind of give you like little nuggets that aren't quite nuggets because there's qualifiers on them. Listen to Adam Schefter talking about the feeling, the current feeling when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, or really just selecting a quarterback or two.
And it certainly feels like the Cleveland Browns are inclined to look elsewhere aside from the quarterback. And it's starting to feel like the New York Giants at number 3 are starting to look elsewhere other than quarterback. So if the Browns don't take Shedeur Sanders at 2, and if the Giants don't take Shedeur Sanders at 3, and that is the feel that I'm getting recently, where is Shedeur Sanders going?
I've seen a lot of this lately. I know you have. Maybe as low as 9, you know, 10.
9 to the Saints.
Saints is what I've seen.
That would be smart, so they stop paying quarterbacks a whole bunch of money to not be all that good for them.
And I keep going back to yesterday, you know, Brian Broaddus, you know, talking about, you know, if you look at some of these quarterbacks, you know, it's just, there is, if you compare from one year to the next, is what he was talking about. Like, how good is that position group? And I think a lot of people are in on Cam Ward, and then they're starting to compare Shedeur Sanders this year to other quarterbacks in previous years, and they're like, nah, we'd rather go with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or whatever it is.
Right, and especially in a year where there have been questions about, like, what the ultimate ceiling is on your quarterbacks, even including Cam Ward, but even though Cam Ward, I think he has now separated himself amongst the draft quarterbacks. I saw Brett Coleman tweet out a really interesting kind of point about years where, you know, you're not all that strong on the other quarterbacks. But, you know, the cautionary tale that is drafting a quarterback simply because they're quarterback. I take you to, what is this, 2011? Cam Newton, number one quarterback. That is a dude that obviously you knew that he was really, really good at football. So after that, Von Miller's drafted second, Martell Darius, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Alden Smith, all great players. At 8, the Tennessee Titans took Jake Locker. You remember that, Tom?
Oh, I remember that. I definitely remember that. That's a great example.
After Jake Locker, Tyron Smith goes, who is a soon-to-be Hall of Famer, I imagine. 10th, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blaine Gabbert. After that, your Houston Texans take who?
Who was it?
Justin James Watt.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Like,
that's right.
This is the downside of forcing yourself to get a quarterback in that space, and I do wonder if the Browns and the Giants are looking up like, okay, we can maybe...
I think that's the example.
We can get some quarterbacks that we feel comfortable with for a short time. In the Giants' case, it is we're going to roll with the Russell Wilson year. We don't expect to be particularly good anyways.
Yeah.
And then get to another place where maybe you can go get a quarterback. And for the Browns in particular, I mean, how good are you planning to be with the way that your contract situation is anyways? although it seems like, according to some of the scuttlebutt out there, they seem to be still in the running for that Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins seems to want to be cut.
And they're playing at coy over in Atlanta.
Yep.
They are definitely. And I'm not saying, Cam Ward is going to be, is going to be that good as Cam Newton. But I think that's the best example. They have one where people feel like, okay. And then after that, it's how do you feel about that particular guy? And there's some shortcomings.
Yeah. And of course, one thing that I always want to mention in all of this, it's Lion season, man. Like, this
Big
is
time.
The time period where you could see someone do all this and then ultimately come back on the back end and you see him go second or third to the Giants. And all of this was just, unnecessary hot air. But I do find that interesting, especially because that's been a conversation that I think we've been having personally, is just how good or how high of a ceiling is good enough for you to forego the opportunity cost of a high level player that could be on your roster for a significant amount of time, like an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And I'm looking at this quarterback draft class and I'm like, it feels like I would go for the bona fide blue chip.
Yeah, I've been saying that all along. I mean, the best player by far, but the best player in this draft is Hunter, then maybe Carter. And after that, it's kind of a crapshoot in terms of position players. But the quarterback, Titans are going to take Cam Ward. It seems like pretty obvious now.
All right. Before we move on, do you think the Pittsburgh could jump up if they don't get Aaron Rodgers by draft night? Because that's something that Tix Rocks is positing on the YouTube.
Boy, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, you know how I feel about that. But for them to jump up, I mean, they do have, obviously a coach that can get a lot out of a team, and the only thing they're missing is a quarterback. I mean, maybe. Do you think that's possible? I hesitate.
It feels like it's so far from what the Steelers have been in the past.
I hesitate, yeah.
And if they did that, I mean, even the Aaron Rodgers thing feels far from what they've been in the past. But it just feels like, oh, okay, so the Steelers of the past that had this MO and they stuck to it and they kind of allowed that to be the way that guided them, that team is gone, which would be really wild. All right, and text comes in that says, I wonder how much teams are worried about taking on the baggage that comes with Sanders, whether it's Deion or what have you. I mean, you're going to have to hear about things from Deion. And it's not even just because Deion is some level of anything. It's not an indictment of him. It's just, hey, what player have you had where his pops is in front of a microphone where the media is going to ask him questions every week? Because that's what it's going to be in Colorado. And you're damn sure that someone in that media is going to ask
week.
About, yeah, well, something happened with your son up
every
there
week.
In New York. What do you have to say about that? So I do wonder if that comes up. But, I mean, it'd be really weird for those two teams in particular to be worried about that. The Giants, you're in the New York media. Like, I thought that was something that they just kind of understood as a given. And then you look at the Browns, and have they not had the crash course in dealing with questions about your quarterback?
Yeah, as far as it goes with Shedeur Sanders, I honestly, and I could be dead wrong, obviously, because Deion likes to say things. I don't think that's scaring off teams by any stretch. I think they know what they want, what they are. Even the bad teams try to, insulate themselves from that type of stuff. And I think Shedeur Sanders got something to prove. I think Deion gets it, more than other people would.
It feels like, he's a pro in this. It seems like he'll be able to navigate this. And yeah, you're right, Kix Rocks. Paying money for DK and trading for him and everything is also not Steelers-esque as well. We might be seeing a new era in their situation as well. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Friday. And coming up next, we welcome in studio the man of 1,000 voices. You hear him as he does the John Madden, he does John Gruden, and we'll tap into that and more with Frank Caliendo next.